Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your hosts, Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
The best guests, the best insight.
Lofton with his team down by two, to the corner, Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing!
All backed by over 40 combined years of covering the biggest events in St. Louis sports.
Blues have the puck, Thomas off the wall, shoots, and it's in! They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon! Bring out the Zamboni! Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends them to the conference finals!
Now, here are Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan KFNS and 590thefan.com.
It's going to be tough to follow up some of those emails of the day. I mean, there's a trail of vapor from what Hoff was reading, and now I've been added to the suspension log. I think that's a career first. There's been a lot of great moments in 590 history.
Oh, that's got to top it, though.
Clearly, right? When the book is written, I'm going to write down that on July 23rd, 2019, Doug Vaughn entered me into the suspension log.
It would be a hell of a book.
Does that mean I get... Yeah, Plowsy would be in there.
I would hope
the
that
firing
at least make,
and the return.
I would at least hope I make just a little.
The everyday
segment.
Almost firing.
That's what I hope for, just to be mentioned, maybe in the back pages.
But the suspension log. So can I actually be here? Because in honor of my guy Chuck Marlowe, I was thinking, oh, this is cool. I just get to leave. It doesn't work like that. I just can't comment between 7 and 10 for the next couple of days.
Next two days, you're banned.
Which, to be honest, should not be an issue. Hey, welcome aboard. Hollywood Casino Press Box, Frank Cusimano on assignment. He already told us, which rarely does he tell us. He's going to be in Columbia, Missouri today. He mentioned his food picks going to Booch's, but I doubt he's driving all that way. So, Frankie's probably doing a little Mizzou something
probably
or other.
Thing.
Something.
Locker room, maybe the.
He did
end
mention
zone
the
project.
South end zone. He kind of slipped up and said that yesterday. So, I have Zach down there right now at the South end zone doing an exclusive that will run at 9 a.m. to beat them onto the air.
Choate's Chews will be at Booch's as well for his new segment, his new food segment.
We do have a loaded Tuesday for you. Dr. Rick Lehman checking in the 11 o'clock hour. Tuesdays with Kenny. We'll talk to Kenny Wallace in the 11:30, and a little bonus there because the coveted hour, and let's be honest, it's coveted hours, now, 10
yeah,
to 1, right?
Right.
Chuck Marlowe and I never really said goodbye, the emotional goodbye to the midday grind.
You might have had a few vague references to the show ending, just
correct,
randomly sprinkled in there for people who are listening very
closely. I don't know
closely.
If anybody picked up on that and or cared. But Chuck's my guy. He's going to come in a little early today. He'll be here at 11:30 because Kenny was also a big Chuck guy. Even though Kenny and myself, we all grew up watching Frank on TV, so it's an honor to be around a longtime veteran like that. So Charlie will slide in a little bit early. But let's kick it off. A little thing we call the monologue, and it's brought to you by Worldwide Technology Racetrack. And we begin. Let's go with lap one.
Gotta say lap one first.
I had to think about it.
Hold on, it wasn't plugged in correctly. What is going on? There we go.
Good start.
Because it almost sounded like lap three. I'm not sure.
Good
they
start.
Sound similar. Oh. All right, lap one. Guys, it's just one at bat. Last week against the Pirates, it was just one at bat. We keep making too much out of it, but Paul Goldschmidt now in less than a week has had two game-winning hits. Now, he may not get back to his standards he set in Arizona. He may just have a slightly off year. But when he's at the plate, he's still a presence.
And a fly ball out to deep right. How about it? How about it? Grand slammer! And a little fist pump from Goldschmidt. He delivers a grand slam here in the 10th.
Cards were tied at 2. Grand slam Goldschmidt. Cards take a 6-2 lead a week ago. This team had played more than a half season of baseball. They had 0 grand slams. They now have 2 on this road trip. And the Hoff stat from a week ago, when we're trying to understand just how down Goldschmidt had been, 5 RBIs in the month of June. In the month of June. And he picks up four in one swing in July. I'm not going to say.
It was five RBIs in May and June combined.
May 1st
through June 30th, Paul Goldschmidt drove in five runs.
Hold on. Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought he had like five in May and
no,
six.
He had two in May. Oh, no, he had five in June. I was misreading it. Yeah, five in June and then seven in May.
Okay, yeah. I would say five RBIs in a month. For a guy who plays every day, we were talking at work last night. It's almost impossible for a guy hitting in the middle of the lineup to just not stumble into an RBI here. They had five.
17 this month.
So we don't need to say that he's turned the corner or anything dramatic. But those are two huge swings in the course of a week. And our guy, Andy Van Slyke, in studio 1 week ago, breaking down Goldschmidt, said,
Here's the thing about Goldschmidt. He's been a very, very productive hitter, not only pulling the ball, but hitting the ball with authority the other way. That's the one thing I think that's missing that I've seen in the past from him. That
He's really pulling the ball too much.
Well, it just seems like I don't see damage to right center and right field like he has in the past. And I'm sure it's something he knows. I'm sure it's something he's trying to address. But he was a guy that used the whole field. And because of his past, he knows that for him to be good, that's going to have to happen.
And poor Danny Mac's been sitting on Grand Slamma all season. And now he gets to use it twice during one trip. And I love when you see the guys on the dugout steps, like Miles Michaelis, they're jumping over the fence there. They're so excited. These guys make millions. They drive Lamborghinis. But at that point, all they care about is that little white ball just going over the wall. It was a great moment, but it didn't come without a little drama. Let's get to lap two. The play at the plate.
That was Goldschmidt's second home run to right this year. He averaged 5.5 the previous six seasons.
So maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's a turning point. No, don't say that. We say it every time it's a big hit. It was a huge hit for last night. All right, lap two, the play at the plate. The much maligned Jose Martinez had a throw that was online.
And it's a base hit into right field. Martinez throw to the plate. It's there! He got him! Jose Martinez! A bullet! A strike! And Kisner, the tag!
And if you weren't paying attention, audio courtesy Fox Sports Midwest. Great calls by Dan McLaughlin. That was the tying run coming home. It was about to be from the game of the year to one of the more deflating losses of the entire season. That was the tying run at the plate. Wasn't crazy about the Kisner tag. Maybe he could have been a little more aggressive because the throw beat the runner. He was going to be out. No offense to the rookie, but I think he made it a little closer than you would have liked. And for a Monday night game in Pittsburgh with like five people there, it was a wildly entertaining. You can't say a playoff-like game when there's two people in the stands. Official attendance, which usually sounds crazy because there's nobody there. But, they sold at least the number, they only sold 13,000 tickets. So it wasn't going to be a full house even if everybody showed up. But for a Monday night in Pittsburgh, that had some serious drama. It's like Mike Shannon always says. You go to the ballpark because you never know what you'll see. If I told you, hey, Goldschmidt might hit a grand slam, yeah, okay. And then if I said Jose Martinez will make one of the defensive plays of the game, you'd probably say, why is he in the game late in the game? Why hasn't he been pulled? Why haven't they put a defensive replacement out there?
You know who needs to apologize today when he's in here? Charlie Marlowe. What's the nickname he gave Jose Martinez? The corner butcher. He was not the corner butcher last night.
I hate to say it. I think I called him the corner
butcher.
Oh, then you
need to apologize.
I only did it because it was catchy. It was a sponsor.
And at the time, the corner butcher was
sponsoring.
The corner
butcher was a sponsor, and I thought that's a very catchy name. The guy hits, but defensively, he's a little bit of a butcher. All right, lap three. The standings. The Cardinals are a game and a half back. See what Mike Schilt was trying to tell you guys? You're so negative. Come on. Look at the Cubs on the road. They lost in San Francisco last night. They're 18-28 away from Wrigley. The entire Central is below 500 on the road. In fact, in the National League, there's only four teams that are over 500 on the road. Three are in the West and then Atlanta. So everybody in the Central, subpar when playing on the road, which is weird. When we talk about home field, We did it a lot during the hockey playoffs. Do you ever think of baseball as true home field? Never. In the playoffs, it's nice if you're at home, but how many World Series have been won with a team on the road? I mean, it's not that big a deal yet this year. Look at the numbers. So the Brewers lost. The Cubs lost. Cards are 8-2 over their last 10. I think more importantly, in this stretch of games against the Pirates and Reds, teams you should beat, you should be better than the Pirates and Reds. They're 6-2. 6-2 against the Pirates and Reds. And even though I could be a little bit of a wet blanket, Chuck still owes me $10, by the way. I said they were going 4-5 on that last road trip. They did.
That's right.
I even said 5-4 possibly. He was optimistic. He was wrong. He owes me 10. Last night, he pulls out his wallet. I swear to you. And he goes, oh, I thought I had a 10. And he's digging around. He goes, I don't know where it went. I go, just stop. Just stop. He goes, oh, I had a 10 earlier. I just can't find it now. Just stop. So they are 1-2 away. I'm trying to do some quick math. My prediction for this trip was 5-3, right? So they're 4-1. So they can go 1-2, and I'll still get my bold prediction, which was they were going to have a 5-3 road trip. Bottom line, you're a game and a half back in the Central. Who cares if all the teams are bad? Come on, Plowsy, get on board. It's time to fly.
You're a half up in the wild card.
I'm good for right now.
I'm good. I'm good. All right, lap four. When is it okay to turn down $111 million?
When the Washington Wizards are offering it to you.
That's part of the answer. And when you're Bradley Beal and his agent, Mark Bartlestein, who oddly enough was Kurt Warner's agent. I never heard of him until Kurt Warner came along. And then Bartlestein's name started popping up everywhere. That's Bradley Beal's agent. He said, we'll think about it. It's a big decision. 3 years, $111 million. That's $37 million per year. Even in this crazy NBA world where they're paying, that's right up there. That's a ton. But they might turn it down because next year he could be eligible for a 5-year, $254 million deal. Now, he'd have to be all NBA. He probably, you know, you're rolling the dice. But even if he doesn't get all NBA next summer, he could get like a 4-year, $150. So if you take the 111, you could be leaving 140 or 40 million on the table. Now, you're betting on yourself to have a big year. But I think if I'm Bradley Beal, and again, you mentioned it, you're locked in with the Wizards, not really going anywhere. But boy, can you imagine a world that you live in where there's an offer for $111 million and you say, let me think about it. Let me get back to you.
What's crazy is that won't even touch the number if Giannis meets all his incentives this season. I know, like I said, everything has to go right. You know, you kind of have to be in the top three in the MVP, all NBA, all defensive. I mean, he's in line next year, I think, to make $52 million a year. I think somewhere around that realm, which is absolutely insane.
It's totally insane. And then you start wondering like Jason Tatum, how much money is he going to make? Because he's younger. And
depends
the money,
on his development, too, though.
But I know, but the money, just the potential money just keeps going up. I mean, all of a sudden, all right, let's say he's on the low end. Oh, he's only making 30. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, Tobias Harris, I think, turned down last offseason from the Clippers $80 million for like a 5-year deal. And this offseason, he just signed for, I think, $180 or something like that.
So it was a good move.
He made $101 million, yeah, something like that. So
right, and
nice.
That's Brad Beal's agent is saying, listen, this is a nice offer. Boy, 37 mil per season could pay some bills. But we might get 254 next summer. And if we don't get that, we might get 150-ish. It's just unbelievable. Good for Bradley Beal, who still comes back. He's actually investing in that sports complex, which is replacing the St. Louis Mills, big sports properties. I think Dan Buck's going to join us Thursday to further explain. I don't know if Mike Matheny's part of this. Remember, he and Dan teamed up on the Chesterfield proposal that didn't happen, and now they're building this monster sports complex out in Hazelwood, site of the Blues' old training facility. And Bradley Beal is moving his elite basketball team. Used to be the Eagles, the youth basketball league. He's moving that out there. So he's become an investor in that. And I think he said, I want St. Louis to have a great home for youth basketball. So I think the more he makes, I could be wrong, but I think the more you'll see him involved in St. Louis projects. All right, the Worldwide Technology Race Park opening monologue, lap five. All right, the netting in baseball. The White Sox, the Nationals, both debuted it last night. I think Nationals might have been rained out. But the idea was, instead of the netting behind home plate, which has been stretched and expanded over the years, is now going all the way to the foul pole for the White Sox and the Nationals. And I'm usually old school. I'm usually the traditionalist. Not a big replay guy like umpires and
hard
managers
arguing.
Hard to argue
with this. It's hard.
And I got to tell you, the netting is fine. Mm-hmm. Because nobody's watching the game anyway.
Yeah.
Have you been to a baseball game? Everybody's walking around. There's places to hang out. And I got to tell you, if you wanted to catch that line drive, that hot smash, you're not catching it anyway.
You're not getting it.
You can still bring your glove because the pop-up that just kind of sails deep into the third or fourth row and you're just waiting for it to drop. All right, get your glove out. That hot smash that's going to drill you in the face, you were never going to catch that anyway. And you probably weren't watching anyway. You were probably texting your friends. I have no problem with it at all.
It's weird all the people who, they get all angry about this because, oh, it's going to obstruct your view. What are the most expensive seats at most ballparks? Behind the netting at home plate.
That's a great point.
So if it's such a big deal, why are those usually some of the most expensive seats that aren't luxury suites? It's stupid. And if you want to try to bring families back to baseball and bring them back to the game, well, you got to increase safety.
Yes.
You can't expect a dad to be that, to either pay that close attention or a kid to have that kind of reflexes where a ball jumping off the bat at 90 plus miles per hour, they could duck and dodge it. It's not possible.
And in the old days, because everything's about the old days, especially nostalgia, if you look at the crowd shot, it's usually full. They're watching the game. So they were probably ready. In 1950 or 1970, they were probably ready if there was a hot smash. Now, you're knee deep in your nachos. You're ordering beer. Like,
getting your kid wiped off.
Nobody's paying attention. That would be a great piece of video. During like an entire inning, just focus the camera behind the dugout or anywhere where the netting doesn't extend to. Just almost a time lapse. And just watch those people. How many people are looking down, moving around, getting up? Like, nobody's sitting there watching the game. It's part of the issue with baseball now is everybody's kind of bored, so they're moving around. All the more reason to bring in the netting.
I think an added element that maybe baseball doesn't want to discuss is how much has the juiced ball led to harder balls off the bat that are going foul and are screeching into the crowd at over 100 miles per hour? How much does that contribute to it?
And for fear of being mocked by these guys here with the backup camera, sure.
White teeth.
One time, my sister was lucky enough. No, she.
Oh, here he comes.
It was an auction.
One time, Martin sat in the dugout for an entire game and got
Ty Cobb gave us the baseball.
No, we were in the green seats. One time, my sister was lucky enough, got him through work. It was a charitable function.
Nice.
I don't remember the netting at all. I just remember the food, the booze. I don't remember the net. I have no recollection that the netting was an issue. Okay?
And that means it works.
Bill DeWitt, the owner, sits behind the netting.
Yes, I've been fortunate enough to sit in the green seats and other all-inclusive sections at Busch Stadium. I've never paid attention less to a ball game.
Correct.
And you're just looking at the menu, trying to figure out what next to eat. Some of the sections, it's based on the length of the game, so you're paying attention to the clock to see, you know, oh, so it stopped after 2.5 hours, so I better order more food and more beer. I don't care at all about what's happening on the field.
The green seat game we went to was the Gray Garcia walk-off homer against beat the Cubs. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So that part I remember. But when the game began, we're down in that lower area. I think I'm having a Manhattan and going to the buffet. And somebody said the game started. I said, did it? That's what I remember. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Speaking of my sister, it's her birthday today. Happy birthday to my sister, Paula, who does great work with L'Arche. They help people with mental disabilities. She did it in Canada for years with my brother-in-law. They're doing it in St. Louis. Great organization. If you ever hear about L'Arche, listen up, because they're doing great things all across the globe. It started in France. My sister, she's the saint of the family. Can you imagine me and my sister? We go places, and I do all the talking. She does all the listening. So my sister is officially a saint. Happy birthday to my sister, Paula. Albert O., I mentioned it yesterday on the show to Dave Matter. Hasn't he been underpublicized? You have a guy who is going to the NFL, and then all of a sudden at SEC Media Days, they don't talk about him. Maybe Mizzou's listening again. Just tweeted out this morning a little video of the best tight end in the nation Maybe Mizzou's monitoring the press box and said, you know what, that Martin, he's on it. Let's start promoting Alberto. Also, Mizzou fans, is it okay to get excited? We've said we're excited about the football season. I mean, Frank says 9-3, and Howard Richards is mad that he's not being optimistic. But isn't the lesson with Mizzou, it's never safe to get too excited. We always sort of get let down. I know the Porter example is the most recent, but I'm all in. 10-2? Maybe Frank and I have an on-air bet.
They're going to go 10-2 or 9-3, but the bowl game ban will stay.
Which, by the way, Dave Matter said he thinks Barry Odom might take that, but the university losing like $8 or $9 million. I didn't realize they lost all the bowl money from the SEC, that they lose their slice of the pie. That is a huge, that's a huge hit. Matt Wieters, like to see him stick around. We've always had the backup catcher. That's a great interview. Real friendly. Brian Pena, Francisco Pena, Gerald Laird. We got a guy behind Yachty who can hit. He's got 8 homers in 103 at bats. Guy's a 4-time All-Star. I mean, he's more than your typical Molina backup. Also, Carlos Martinez makes it interesting. A little too interesting. He's been overworked lately, but he did make a hell of a play on the bunt.
Bad bunt, Martin. Never bunt.
Never
that
bunt.
That was a stupid bunt by Pittsburgh.
Stupid bunt, but also a great play. And they didn't challenge. And I wasn't sure if Edmund stayed on the bag. And it's a good thing they didn't, because they needed it on the next play at the plate. And final thought, Big Little Lies. Still can't discuss it, correct?
I haven't watched
Hoff
it.
Hasn't
My
watched
wife
it.
Comes back from out of town tonight. We plan on watching it when she gets back.
All right, here's the deal. We know it's an all-female cast. And it's some powerhouse performances. Clearly, it's a vehicle for the females to shine. But have you noticed every one of the males is either a dweeb or a D-I-C? I mean, every male character, every male is one of two.
Does it not? To me, I've never watched the show. It feels like a little chick flicky to me.
It's kind of soap opera-ish.
It's a little soap opera-ish.
I get enough with the shows that I watch. I think I that's
give it a
I've
chance.
Avoided.
Give it a chance. We talked Frank into it. He's usually watching shows from the 90s.
Handmaid or he's show, watching baby. Shows about murderers and drug
right.
dealers.
This is good for this is from Serial Killers to Big Little Lies. This is good for Frank to mix it up. But if you notice, and it's written primarily, it's the original story was by a female, but adapted for TV by David Kelly. But it seems like
ran the music out.
It seems like the theme there isn't just that the women are the stars, that all of the male characters are one of the D's, one of them being dweebs. We'll leave it at that. Opening monologue, giving way to Chris Zimmerman, the Blues CEO. Coming up, don't forget to get involved in the text line. We'll read those tomorrow at 855-282-8255. Maryville University brings you the listener text line at 855-282-8255. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. We had a great time out at their golf tournament yesterday. We'll come back on the press box here on 590 The Fan.